right? You got to have that message ready to go. And that would apply to the guy that we have on the line right now. He's the new head coach out in Calgary. Here is Ryan Huska joining us here on Overdrive. Congrats on the new gig. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing well, and thank you very much. Thank you for having me today.
Absolutely. Have you put any thought into that? I know, you know, day one of camp is still many, many months away, but that first day message, trying to get that tone across early, how important is that as a new coach?
Yeah, I do think it is important. I mean, of course, you're going to have your phone calls with your players here over the summer, and they're going to have an understanding of what we're going to look to do and how we want to play and how we want to be as a team. But you want to get their attention. You've got to let them know that there's some excitement and some enthusiasm, and there's a real belief in the group that we have together. So it is the most definitely a very important meeting or a time for you to be with your players.
Ryan, do you think it's an easier transition that you have a relationship with everyone, and it's now that you're the main guy? Is it simply as just reconnecting with the guys and trying to get across the message that you want to send?
Yeah, you know, Noodles, I think for a lot of people, they may be saying, hey, that's a tough transition. But for me, I look at it the other way. I think it's a positive thing. I'm coming from a point where I have a relationship with these guys already. Now, sometimes as an assistant coach, that a relationship is a little bit different, where they're going to trust you with some other things that they might not with a head coach. But I already have that going in with a lot of our players. Now it's up to me to earn their trust in a different way, which I feel like I'm ahead of the game already on. And of course, as a head coach, your role is different. How you communicate with them is different in regards to timing and how often you're in front of them. But in regards to how I am and how I present myself, that's not changing whatsoever. And I think that maybe is one of the dangers that some guys would fall into, that you try to be something you're not. And I most definitely will not do that. That's never been me, and I'm going to make sure I stay true to who I am.
Ryan, you mentioned talking to some of your players, and I think you would agree that the reality is that more than one or two of them have to play much better next year. So when you say you're reaching out to them, did it get to seriousness right after saying, hey, I'm the new coach, to we need a lot more from you, or is that going to be a conversation for another day?
Yeah, I think there's multiple conversations that will come into it. You talk a little bit, and then sometimes it's where the conversation goes, because the players oftentimes are forthcoming with a lot of information, and then you can get right into some things that you would like to see from them, or how you see them being able to have a little bit more success this year. And that's one of the great parts of already knowing them. You don't have to necessarily get, you know, into what their background is and who they are and what they stand for and really trying to get to know them. I feel like I'm one step ahead of that, which I'm pretty excited about.
With Ryan Huska, the new head coach of the Calgary Flames. Again, you've been on the staff now for a while, which means you're up close and personal with Daryl Sutter, the former head coach. You saw a coach of the year winner 2 years ago, and then you saw a guy this year that clearly it got away from him or got away from the team, and it led to the change that opened the door for you to step in. With that being the case, is it possible to try to take what worked from Daryl and marry it with what didn't work? Or is it that is completely off the table and you want to be your own man, your own head coach in terms of how you're going to approach this group?
Yeah, well, first thing I think it is, you are your own man and you are your own head coach. But along the way, the relationships that you develop and the people that you get a chance to learn from, you take a lot from them. And I mentioned yesterday that you almost, it's like you're building a book, if you will. So there's some things you're like, man, I really love what this guy does here, how he does this. So you put that in there and you add that to what you believe. And then same holds true on the other side of the equation. Yeah, you know what? That doesn't really suit me. And that's not something that I would do. And if we're speaking specifically about Daryl, he is a Stanley Cup winning coach, one of the winningest coaches of all time. And for 2.5 years, I've had an opportunity to learn from and work with one of the best. So my time here working with him, I feel is really important for me and has kind of helped me get to this position that I'm at today. And it's all the relationships that you build. Like, you take things from all these guys. And I mean, Noodles, it's no different than your partners that you would have played with along the way. You watch guys at the other end of the ice and see what they're doing. wow, you know, maybe I can try to do that. Well, there's no chance I could try to do that. But you've got all sorts of different ways where you try to pick up information and you make yourself a better coach along the way. And I'm really lucky with my path that I've had that I've been able to have those experiences.
So what you're saying is there was a slight drop-off between myself and Kiprasov. Is that what you're saying?
Maybe a slight one. But you would still look down there and see, hey, that guy's pretty good at this. Maybe I could try that.
There were too many times where I'd watch him make a save and say, there was zero chance I would have made that save. But I'm glad I'm sitting here and I got a front row seat to watching it. But you mentioned relationships. Is it key to have a, we'll call him a young general manager in Craig Conroy, his first shot at being in the main chair? Is it critical to have that relationship with Connie to work together to move forward?
Absolutely. It's our job, like, together. We have to work together basically every day. I mean, Connie has a vision for how he sees the team and what he envisions will be a winning team here year after year after year. And it's my job to make sure that we get ourselves to the level that we're on the same page. We talk about the game and how we like to see the team play. Our philosophies and our styles and the way we think it are similar. The beauty about it with Connie is he does a lot of communicating, a lot of talking. So we're going to have great conversations about, hey, why did we do this, or why aren't we doing this? And I'll be able to go back to him and say, well, this is why we're doing it, because that's the type of person he is. And when I go back to the communication style, like when we all played way back when, if a coach never said anything to you, you felt pretty good about it. Like, obviously, I'm doing something right if nobody's talking to me. But today's day and age, it's the total opposite. Like, if you go past the guy and you visit with someone and maybe you don't visit with the next guy beside him, well, he's going to spend all day thinking, what did I do wrong here? What am I missing? Am I not playing well? So those are the types of things that we want to try to avoid. And that's why the communication is so important. And Craig, as the general manager here, is one of the best at it. And I'm going to try to work along with him all the way.
I saw something yesterday where you have to round out your coaching staff, and we have a guy that we have on the show that's a potential defenseman coach, and his name is Jason Strudwick.
Oh, my God.
Would he be of any consideration to run the D-Core back there?
What? I don't even really know how to answer that one. Like, I'm going to give you a serious answer first. Like,
just say no, it's never happening, because I know that's the real answer.
Listen, he thinks and sees the game really well, but when you have hair like that, I don't know if it could ever be a reality.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
That's exactly right.
We have him on the show once a week, and we did this segment, and I'll bring you into this. So it was called the Salad Rebuild, and we keep talking about Strudy, where at some point he's going to have to let it go. So I'm going to be honest here. I watched a video of your progression with the Calgary Flames, and early on there was a pretty good salad for yourself, and now, you know, you've gone Messier. So at what point did somebody pull you aside?
Yeah, when's the moment of truth?
Yeah, or did you just decide and look in the mirror and say, I've got to go right down to the wood here?
You know what? I think it was actually my wife, and she was at a game, and she was looking down on the bench, and she went, oh, my God. Like, he's got a serious monkey bum back there. Like, that thing's got to go. So she told me that night, like, I think you might have to look at shaving that off or doing something with it, because you are really thinning up top. So we took it down a little bit, and then it just kind of went further and further from there.
Well, what about new coach, new hair? Like, any chance we could fly you to Turkey for a full new rebuild and get you behind the bench next year, or what?
Just put the plugs in and let her run. not a chance. I think if I were to let this thing grow, I would look like Hulk Hogan with that kind of horseshoe around the back.
we had that chat earlier. One of us might be moving in that direction.
Yeah, I think I'm trending in that direction. The toilet bowl, no. It doesn't look good. Yeah, it's not
good.
Hey,
the one good thing about that, though, if you were to take it off, you just wake up out of bed and you look great.
That is very valid. Yeah, very, very, very true with Ryan Huska, the new head coach out in Calgary. So I'm curious, Ryan, like, in terms of expectations, you know, you guys, last year was a disappointing year. The year before, you guys had a great team. You won your division. You get through the first round. The expectations were really high, again, going into this season. But turnover with Darryl out, tree leaving, moving on, you and Conroy stepping in. Like, what kind of expectations do you have for the Flames going into next season?
Well, they should be high, and I think every player should have that as well. And from the guys that I've been able to talk with already, they're excited, and they want to get back at this. And I think when you look at our team last year, analytically, we did a lot of good things. Like, our numbers in the areas that we measure and the way we looked at our team were pretty solid. There's a few areas that we have to correct, and we're going to work on for sure. But we were involved in a lot of one-goal games last year. And I'm pretty sure we led the league in shootout and overtime losses. And if we do a few things a little differently, a little better in certain areas, all of a sudden those one-goal games, maybe we're winning a handful more of them. And then instead of missing the playoffs by 3 points because of the tiebreaker, well, we're 3 points into the playoffs. And it's a total different story. So that's how fine of a line it is. And that's what we try to get our players to understand here. You have to bring your best each and every night, and you have to trust the people that you're on the ice with. So these one-goal games that we are a part of, we're going to really shift it. So we're going to win more of those games than we did this past year. And by doing that, we're going to give ourselves a much better chance of getting to where we want to be.
Well, we wish you nothing but success moving forward. And congrats on the new gig, and enjoy the off season while you can, and we'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Thank you guys very much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
You got it. Ryan Huska, head coach of the Flames. I like that guy. I'm a fan. I'm a big fan. I want to see it work for him.
He knows Strutty, eh? Bar Strutty.
That's so
salad.
Good.
Right away, it goes right after his salad, eh?
Nothing to do with his hockey acumen, how he'd run a bench, you know, what he'd possibly do on the back end. Just, no, we can't have him.
Like, get Strutty on tomorrow. AZ, I don't think you're here tomorrow, but I want Strutty on tomorrow, and I want that clip played right off the top.
Yes. Yeah. We will. We'll bring Strutty in with just that clip from Ryan Huska, just saying.
Playing it three or four times in a row.
Was Huska, like, he was a part of that Kamloops team, but there were a few of them that won all three, right? Was he one of the three-pack?
I thought Strutty. I think Tux won four Memorial Cups in a row.
I think it was three. Was it three? Yeah.
It was him. Yeah, I think Nasher was there for all three.
Yeah, so Huska was on the Blazers for 4 years, and I think he won three cups there with and it was Doan, and you're right, Tucker, and guys like that. Because
there was turnover. Like, Niedermeyer was on the first one, and then by the end, Iginla was on it.
Right.
But I know Tux was on all three. I'm pretty sure Tyson Nash was on all three.
Nasher was on three, and I'm pretty sure Huska was on three. I'm looking at them right now. And there were other guys like Nolan Baumgartner that came. Like, if you actually go and just look
gross.
At unbelievable. Now, London has a program where it spits out a lot of players from the O, and you guys can talk about other programs. But there was a couple, like Kamloops, for a handful of years, they went from Robbie Brown into Shane Doan and Jerome Iginla and a guy named Nat Dominicelli.
Dominicelli was really good too, wasn't he?
Unbelievable. And Darcy Tucker, and, you know, Nasher was there. Actually, Nasher was a really good player. And, like, they had, and they're defensive, right? It was Niedermeyer, Strudwick, a guy named Jason Holland, Brad Lukowicz was there. Like, they had.
Nolan Baumgartner was there.
Baumgartner, they had
a
program.
It to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good, man. Donnie Hay behind the bench. He had a good salad.
They went from Hitchcock to Donnie Hay. So, you know, it was
pretty good
program, but pretty impressive. And, you know, I always tease those guys because every time they get together, it's the Kamloops hug, right? And Tux is in the middle of
that. Insufferable. Yeah. Absolutely insufferable.
Yeah.
Probably wearing the rings.
Exactly.
If they got rings. I don't know if you would have got rings back in the day. Probably.
Of course. They probably look like
rings.
Nothing nowadays, but they probably got them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You have to.
Ask
Absolutely.
Your best friend.
Yeah,
I'm looking up his stats right now. 94-95. Tux had 137 points. That's pretty good, man. 64 snipes.
That's
he only had 94
impressive.
PIMs, too. Like, that's a fair amount of PIMs, but.
Yeah,
that might have been a career low for him once he got to the NHL. Yeah.
Well, in the Western League, you got 100 minutes just for fun. Like, those were, if the games would get 3-1, that was it. Like, it just, you know, it'd be, I don't know how many times there was line brawls and stuff. Like, I was a little bit before them. Like, I can.
Even crazier.
Exactly. I played with a guy named Pat Pilipuk who jumped into the bench in Tri-Cities one night, and I went down to try and help out, and I just got dummied by their tough guy.
Probably get five in a game, but we'll see you tomorrow night, Pat. We'll see you in Saskatoon tomorrow night, Pat.
That was awesome.
We'll see you in Saskatoon, Pukey.
Yeah.
Well, that Pietrangelo stuff we didn't really get into, like him coming out of the penalty box and then getting involved in the scrum. Like, it's dicey. Like, it was dicey. Like, the explanation was that you know, the official let him out and that he was not the aggressor, which I don't believe he was, but he did get involved.
Yeah.
Like, he was definitely in there. He was aggressive once he got in.
Yeah,
Pietrangelo.
I mean, Tkachuk was raking his head with a stick.
That's
like,
the thing.
Like,
Tkachuk started the whole thing, and I don't believe it was worthy of a suspension, but I understand why Florida wouldn't be happy, and I understand why Edmonton may be in a way because of the Darnell Nurse stuff.
What is Tkachuk, a game-time decision tonight? It sounds like he might not play.
It does kind of feel like it may be trending in the direction he won't play.
Yeah.
I guess his possible replacement, they were practicing yesterday and pretty heavily involved, and we'll see.
I don't know, they're in one tonight. Like, I predicted
really
yesterday I predicted yesterday I thought one of these Miami, we'll call it South Florida teams, would get one. Well, you know, it wasn't the Heat, so we'll see if it's the Panthers, and if not, like, Vegas just rolls tonight, and Bill Foley is on the copter with the
company. He'll be right in there. He deserves to be. If his team wins the Stanley Cup, I got to sit here and just, you know, you got to bow to the guy. Say, phenomenal job.
Exactly.
Phenomenal job. Yeah, South Florida. I don't know what they'll do to preoccupy their time. You know, how are they possibly going to get over the Heat and the Panthers both losing in back-to-back night? That's got to be a first if that happens.
Yeah.
Like, that within 24 hours, both your teams lose a championship game?
Marlins time. Marlins
time. It's all Marlins in Miami. You're waiting for Tua to return. Right, I mean, the Dolphins, they're probably going to be pretty good. They're a playoff team. Probably pretty good. All right, MJ coming up in about 15 minutes. The new head coach of the Raptors will join us at 5:30. Confirm or deny, still to come in our U.S. Open picks happening today. We'll get to our picks later this afternoon. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.